Hey, good morning. Live from RKGGF Studios in downtown Coffeyville, I'm Sam Speck. Glad you're with us here as we're joined in studio by a representative from the 11th District. It is Mr. Jim Kelly. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Sam. Great to be here.
Always great to have you. You know, these last couple of weeks, months even, really, we've been speaking over the phone because you have been up in Topeka. Busy, as many others, but it kind of sounds the way it's been. We were just speaking about this a little bit off air, a little bit calmer this session than what you're used to.
Well, I think it to me it seems that way. Of course, the school issue was the big issue, and it would kind of pick up a little steam and then die down. I haven't seen the final bill count yet, but I think there were many less bills this year to deal with. My committee, the Financial Institutions Pensions, was busier than normal, but I mean it was actually with things that were positive happenings and something that was found that needed to be changed or whatever, rather than a lot of things that are wild and you know aren't going to happen, and so you don't get anything productive out of it. This year we did, and it seemed like that maybe was the same way with a lot of the committees, that a lot of the bills were not hard to vote yes for because they were doing something positive. So I think that's a change.
Yeah, well, at least it's not chaotic, right? I mean, within the first couple of months of a new governor being in, it's the last thing that we would really want is a chaotic transition and a chaotic first session into it. So at least it wasn't the opposite of that. You know, you guys kind of found a middle ground with it.
Yeah, in a lot of things. I mean, there were a couple contentious issues, the reamortization of CAPERS and one of the tax issues became a little bit tense, but overall, I would agree with your view from here that it's a little calmer and a little more of a slower pace than some years, which is, I think, leads to maybe getting more things done.
Absolutely. Again, joined in studio by Republican Representative from the 11th District, Jim Kelly. Thanks for joining us here. It is Good Friday. I can't believe Good Friday. Easter Sunday is already here, but let's talk a little bit more about some of these topics. Let's dive into, it looks like they have been released, the revenue estimates for the next couple of years.
Yeah, they have. They came out with the revenue estimates for the next they go out and project it over like 3 years, and it projected positively. It projected that there would be about a $15 million increase in state revenue over that period of time. So that's much better than what we had in some of the years past, where it was projecting declining revenue, and some of that comes into play. You know, one of the things that took a lot of dollars. It took about $115 million was the CAPERS payment that was made. And, you know, that was voted on. That took money out of the budget for other things. But, of course, that money was owed back from 2018. And the interest on that money without paying it was $28,000 a day, I think. And so this ends that and gets that payment, and it boosted CAPERS funding from about 68% of the what they call the unfunded liability, which you're short of having everything you project you need, up to almost 70%. So that was positive. That kind of makes, over the next 3 years with that payment figured in, it makes where you're positive, but you're going to have to probably watch what goes on. So it was pointed out that it may make any tax decreases not as likely. Anything that might happen with food sales tax, not as likely right now. Although the revenue director did point out that, you know, there are signs of a positive economy finally, your sales tax numbers are up, and we can see that here in the paper in Montgomery County, that sales tax numbers are up over what they were. But there's still unknowns, he pointed out. You know, what are crop prices going to do? What are tariffs going to, I mean, what will happen, anything new in there? So there's still some unknowns, and when Kansas has an economy that's still driven by agriculture, that's one of those 800-pound gorillas sitting there that you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you just kind of have to sit back and wait for it and then adjust while it happens, you know?
Yeah.
So, but at least, you know, with the sounds of it, it's coming out majority positively with the sights of it, at least.
Yeah, it is. And with sales tax numbers up and personal tax numbers up, you know, it would seem to indicate that there's maybe more people going out and making some purchases, and also more people working. And I mean, the unemployed levels around the state have certainly dropped over the last couple years.
Yeah, and that was actually going to kind of be my next question, is what do you think really directly correlates to those numbers being up? Do you think it is the workforce increasing? I mean, here in the county for sure, but around the state, is that kind of the bigger reasons?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with it. I mean, you know, the aircraft industry in Kansas seems to be going well. It'll be interesting to see with Spirit, such a big employer in Wichita. I think they have maybe 12,000 people employed in Kansas. What does that Boeing 737 do that might cut back on some of their work there? I mean, there's always those things that pop up that could have an influence if one of the big industries in your state happens to be right at the forefront of that. So right now, though, I think it's positive, and maybe for the first time in a number of years, we're seeing some figures rise that you want to rise, and you don't like to hear that it's another decline.
Yeah, no, certainly. When great point that you make as well with the whole Boeing scandal right now and the 737s, and you just don't really realize how many tens of thousands they could affect, and that's just tens of thousands of Kansans, let alone Boeing's other factories and you know, distribution areas around the nation. So you just don't really kind of put two and two together and see how much that impacts when things like this happen.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that'll be a thing to watch, I think.
Very cool. Again, speaking with Jim Kelly here this morning. That was on behalf of the release of the revenue estimates for the next couple of years. Any final notes that you wanted to hit on that? It sounded like just majority positive for right now.
Yeah, I think right now positive. It shows they're projecting out still positive ending balances for the years, although the percent going down, because the farther you move out, and with some, you know, some things that are done, you say, well, we'll add you know, so much to this program, whatever it would be. Well, that's not only this year, but that's next year and the next year. And so those things trickle on down. So you still have to adjust and look for what you can do, because costs keep going up. And what you put in now, it's most of them are not one-time expenditures. So I think it's positive, but you still, I guess, can't go crazy.
Yeah. Always got to be, you know, aware, I guess,
yes,
weary,
yep,
of it by any means. So, well, Jim, I wanted to get your thoughts here. I know you guys just were here very recently, have signed a couple of bills and bill signings, but the last few weeks of activity within session there, you guys passed an education bill. I'd love to get your final thoughts on that.
Yeah, the education bill, I mean, that was a, if there was a contentious bill in the session, that was it. I mean, the governor had a plan, the Senate had a plan that was somewhat similar to the governor's, and the House's plan, their education committee, our education committee, had one that had really less money in it and had more all kind of strings attached, had policy issues. And so that went on and went on and went on, and we got down right to the last days. And, under the Attorney General is who understand you're going to talk to later.
About 20 minutes from now, yeah.
His office would keep saying, hey, we've got to get our our work to the court by April 15th. So you got to do something. We need some time to put it together. So finally, we did get it in the first week of April, got something done. It ended up kind of a combination. It was the money that the Senate had pretty much, plus maybe half of the policies that the House had wanted, and they were probably the less the policies that gave you less kind of heartburn than some of the ones that were there. And so that passed, and it passed by pretty good numbers in the House, and the governor immediately signed it. And her office indicated that they thought it should end the court, the court should accept it. She liked it. The Senate liked it. The House agreed with it, and Schools for Fair Funding immediately came out and said it was hundreds of millions of dollars short, which, personally irritated me, just because the reaction was so quick. The Kansas Association of School Boards came out in support of it, and so I think the overall thought now is that arguments will be presented on May the 9th, and it's hoped and it's felt that the court may act fairly quickly to say, okay, you've handled the inflationary part of the equation that we felt was missing last year. So, it was something that it did go kind of from the start of the session to the end. A lot of times it was kind of kept low, but in the last week or so it really popped up, and as something happened, and I felt like it was when things went together, it was a pretty good plan.
Well, yeah, I agree. And, it kind of surprises me, too, that to mention that you guys are that short, when in reality that was right around the figure that the governor was looking for, that the Senate proposed. And I've been speaking with a couple of other representatives of Blacks and Prowl, and they had mentioned what the House came up with wasn't that far off either. But you had mentioned, different policies with in and out, and
yes,
things about accountability as well. So the figure was always kind of agreed upon right around that $90 million or something.
Yeah,
like
that's pretty much the number you heard all the time. Yeah. And for me, Schools for Fair Funding making their comment only reinforced in my mind that for the fact that there's a number of people say, well, it'll never be enough. And they confirm that. And I think that's a real negative on their part. Mm. I think it's a good plan. We'll have to see what the court does. The governor, of course, it's a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor, and they both agreed, and she signed immediately with no hesitation. And so I thought that in the end we ended up with something that should get us to a point that maybe we can put this this decade battle, kind of behind us and get on to some other things.
Absolutely. And coming up here on the top of the hour, I'm very glad we got to dive deeper into this, Jim, because it sounds like it's through, it's signed, it just needs to satisfy the courts at this
just
point.
Just has to satisfy the courts, and that's always been the most difficult issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, that is Representative Jim Kelly out of the 11th District joining us here in studio. Jim, thanks so much, and you have a great Good Friday and a great Easter.
Well, thank you. You too, Sam, and appreciate the opportunity, and happy Easter. Have a blessed one to everyone listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jim, and we'll check in with you the next month. This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.